أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم وقال الكافرون هذا ساحر كذاب أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدا إن هذا لشيء عجاب. صدق الله العظيم. Yesterday we discussed the background to the revelation of these ayat, the incident of where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was called by Abu Talib, and Abu Jahl and others were present as well, and it was on their request that Abu Talib called Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to advise him that look, don't speak ill of the idols, just let them be. And on that occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, look, I have one statement. If they say this one statement, all the Arabs and non-Arabs will fall at their feet. So Abu Jahl then responded and said, let alone one, we are ready to say 10 such statements. So upon this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, say la ilaha illallah. So as soon as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, Abu Jahl stood up, and the others also then stood up. They dusted their clothes, so to say, in a very dismissive manner. And Abu Jahl said, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَاهُ وَاحِدًا, that he's now made all the deities into one. This is very strange. How can all the deities be one? Now they were believing in this so many countless idols. So now suddenly they must give up all this idol worship and believe in one Allah Ta'ala. So he described this as إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. So Allah Ta'ala on this revealed these ayat. So right at the beginning already was stated بَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي عِزَّةٍ وَشِقَاقٍ, that actually these disbelievers are just in this false pride and in this, they are bent on this dissension. When somebody is bent on dissension, and especially the pride is also there with him, then even when he sees the truth can be glaring in front of him, but he'll find some other excuse to reject it. He'll find some excuse to try and avoid accepting the truth. So this was their problem as well, that they were not going to accept regardless of how clearly and openly this becomes evident to them. And here now they had nothing else to say. So now they just made this kind of statement that how can all these deities be just ignored and we now worship one Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. This is a very strange thing. Now the thing at that time was that they were all in this idol worship. They didn't want to give up their idol worship. And they couldn't accept now that there can be only one Allah. In the times that we are in, it's taken a different dimension. The dimension now is that, yes, all the religions are different, but as different as all the religions are, but it's all one. This is a new fitna and a new ploy of shaitan to trap people into try and giving up their deen in the guise of still remaining in deen. So one is, a person is told that na'uzu billah, he must leave deen. So that will be totally rejected by a Muslim. So that is not the strategy and ploy that is being used. But no, you remain exactly where you are. You don't have to leave, that is what is said. But in saying you remain exactly where you are, what is then presented is that you don't remain anywhere. So you are told, don't worry, you remain as a Muslim, but what you are presented with and what you are being told to accept, if that is accepted, then there's Islam only in name left, but there's no reality. So this is the fitna of what is termed as the interfaith, whatever efforts are being made to try and bring people into this interfaith ideology, and the interfaith ideology is trying to make people accept that at the end of the day it's all one. So if it's all one, then it means that you, even if it's a person is a Muslim, that's good enough, very good. And if he's a Christian, that's fine too. If he's a Jew, it doesn't matter, because eventually all are going to end up in the same place. So if this was the reality, if this is what it was, then what was the need for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come and give da'wah towards one Allah and then face all these trials? And what was the need for Bilal radiallahu anhu to then keep then saying Ahad, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is observing this, and because he's saying Ahad, one Allah, one deen, there is nothing else but the one Allah, and everything else is rejected. And for this he is being tortured, being made to lie in the hot sand. Huge and heavy boulders are being placed on him. He's being dragged on the hot sands of Makkah Mukarramah. What was the need for all this? For Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to also still invite towards one Allah. And he's seeing how those who are accepting this are being tortured. He could have, na'uzu billah, just told them, no, don't worry, everything is all one. But that was never the case. And when a person says, when he comes into iman, his iman, the foundation of his iman is La ilaha illallah. It starts off with a rejection of everything besides Allah Ta'ala. La ilaha. There's none worthy of worship illallah, but Allah. Now this is the foundation of his iman. It starts off with the rejection of everything else and only submitting to Allah Ta'ala. And a person who is now a Christian, so his starting point is he's believing in Trinity. So he's not saying La ilaha. He's believing in na'uzu billah, that Allah Ta'ala had a son. And whereas La ilaha, Allah is unique. Qul huwa Allahu ahad, this is his iman. Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Allah has no partner whatsoever, no child. He was not begotten and neither did he beget. Allah is unique. So now this is his iman. Now, how is he going to marry anything else into this? It's impossible. But this is how the strategy is and what the ploy is, that to try and make a person dilute his iman by making him say that no, everything is one. Everything will finish off in the same place. This is not something new. It started off very long ago. In India also there was this once upon a time. The slogan was that all rivers meet in the ocean. Slogans are always very captivating. And slogans are also not just captivating, very deceiving. It is made captivating in order to deceive. So very deceiving. So now a simple person, he thinks about it, well, okay, yes, different rivers from different angles all finally finish off in the ocean. So now what was this meant to say? That whichever creed you belong to, whatever religion you believe in, but it all finish off in the ocean, everyone finish off in Jannat, all believe in Allah. So that is totally false. There's no such thing in deen. Interfaith has its own connotation and meaning in this time and age. It means to try and unite all the religions as if it's one, but it's never one. This doesn't mean we will treat people badly or harm anybody. As far as insan are concerned, no matter who he is, we will treat every human being correctly. We will treat every human being with justice, with kindness, with compassion. But we will not let that cross the line of iman in compromising our deen. Our deen will not be compromised. Even the worst atheist, if he is starving, then to feed him also, we will get rewarded. So we will not ignore that. If he's starving, he's thirsty, dying of thirst, we'll give him the water. We will do what we can to help him. And we will still at the same time remain firm on our iman. Rather, we will invite him towards iman as well. That this is the only salvation. Yes, as a human being, we will fulfill his rights. But we will not move one bit out of this boundary of iman. And neither we will dilute it in any way. Because that dilution will mean no iman. When a person says he believes in everything, in reality what he's saying is he believes in nothing. Because faith is very specific. You cannot be believing in all different things when things are all contradicting each other. You believe in La ilaha illallah and somebody else is believing in shirk. How can these two things be believed in at the same time? So if a person is believing in everything, in reality he is believing in nothing. So these are the fitnas that keep coming up from time to time, which we need to be very alert about. And this is not just something happening in some conferences here and there, wherever. This is happening even at the very grassroots level. It is being pushed into syllabi of schools. Little children are being made to say all these things. Recently one alim, probably about a month and a half, 2 months ago, so he says that in his maktab, in the afternoon maktab, so now it was some aqaid lesson. So as a result of whatever was being discussed, probably this is what became the trigger for that child to say it. Otherwise he might not have said it. Wallahu alam. So he's asking the ustad, but what we are being taught in school, and then what he was referring to, so the subject, so now part of the orientation, life orientation, whatever. So on that particular day, the subject was Hinduism. So now the issue is that no, you must know about all these things. A part of knowing about it was what? That the so-called gods that were believed in by the Hindus, so now all those names are there, well, how many, whatever number of it. And now obviously these children are not familiar with these names. So now the teacher is a Hindu himself or some, whatever he might have been, not a Muslim. He's making the Muslim children also repeat these names under the guise of getting the pronunciation correct. So now this child, as he's talking about, 12-year-old or whatever his age was, so he's trying to now explain what is being made to, what they are being made to do in school, and he shuddered. So Ustad told him, look, that shudder is a sign of Iman. But if you want to keep exposing yourself to this, Allah forbid this dies off. But now this is the extent to which things are happening. We don't realize what is going on. Now imagine that Muslim child, but he's being made to repeat now in order under the guise of getting the right pronunciation. And these false gods of theirs, he must repeat the words, he must repeat the names. Repeating the name is only the name of Allah Ta'ala. And that is why we keep making zikr, because that must sit in the heart. Now the child is being made to repeat some idol name, what is going to sit in his heart? So, we need to be very conscious about these things, and children who are exposed to these things in schools and so on, we need to be very conscious and clear their hearts and minds. We have to become alert to what's going on. Save our children from these environments, bring them into environments that will strengthen their iman. Otherwise, Allah forbid, as they move on in life, where they'll finish off. So in any case, these leaders of the Quraysh who were there, they woke up in this manner, dusted their clothes off, and they said, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهُ وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Then from here they moved out. وَانْطَلَقَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْهُمْ. This group, these leaders, they walked out, and now they're addressing the people around, who are outside, who are they folk. أَنِمْشُوا. Just get out of here. Don't come anywhere near him. And وَاسْبِرُوا عَلَىٰ آلِهَتِكُمْ. You remain firm upon your idols. Now this is what happens in different ways. One is in this manner of complete shirk, where they are asking their people to just remain firm on their idols. And إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءُ يُرَادُ. This is a very desired thing, that this is what you should continue doing. But these are all lessons for us. The Quran Sharif speaks in many places about the different people of Batil. Here it is these mushrikeen. Many ayat, the issues of the Yahud are discussed, the Nasara, many other deviated groups. So is the Quran Sharif just giving some history? This is what happened. No, the Quran Sharif is for us. When Allah Ta'ala is speaking about the mushrikeen, the lesson is for us. Allah is speaking about what the Yahud did, what the Nasara did, what the Majus did. But the lesson is for the mu'mineen. That look, this is how these mushrikeen conducted themselves. That they were steeped in the shirk, and then they are deceiving and they are deviating the people around them also and telling them, no, this is the right thing, what you are doing is right. Now, one is on this extreme level, completely out, shirk, kufr. But then at a comparatively lower level, but also very serious and dangerous, that sometimes people of iman, due to the weakness of their iman, are caught up in some wrong or the other. But now because a person now, he might be the head of the family, or he might just be somebody who is now involved in something, he might be a person part of a group, part of a circle of friends, and he's caught up in something. So now because he's in that wrong, and he doesn't want to give it up, or doesn't feel like now making the change, so now he tries to deceive others that no, this is what you should be doing also. If others are also joining him in something, he tries to keep them there. This happens in many ways, whether in circles of friends, whether in family circles, wherever somebody is caught up in something wrong, they're doing something in the wrong way, they may be hosting some wedding in the wrong way, and now somebody wants to set things right, or somebody is raising the problem that this is not in order, this is wrong. So you'll find people rejecting it. You'll find people now talking in the opposite direction. That this is what how it happens nowadays. This is the norm. Leave all these other things aside. So this is the lesson we're getting from here, that this is the way of the mushrikeen. This is the way of the mushrikeen, that they were steeped in shirk and they're trying to keep others stuck there as well. Whereas a mu'min, he acknowledges his mistake. If he doesn't know, he'll ask. But he will not insist on something that is batil and wrong. He, out of his weakness, whatever, he fell into some wrong, or he's doing something from years, from ages, it has come down from his forefathers, but something that was carrying on, which was not in order. But he has now come to understand that deen is saying that this is how it should be. And what has been carrying on is wrong. So the least is the dictates of his iman, that he'll acknowledge what I am doing is wrong. If he has not yet the ability within, due to his own weakness, to take the step forward, whereas the ability is always there, Allah has blessed everyone with the ability to do everything that is required in deen. If that ability was not there, then na'uzu billah, it will mean Allah Ta'ala has burdened us with something that we are not capable of. So it is not that there is something difficult, the difficulty is what we have made it. So if the norm becomes something wrong, it doesn't mean now to do the right in itself is difficult, it's the society that has made the good things difficult. A person is among a circle of friends, and all those who are there in that company, they all are the kind of people that they talk vulgarity, they are doing things which are wrong, everybody is smoking in that company, Allah forbid, they're doing worse, they're smoking intoxicants. And now somebody who doesn't want to do that, he's part of that group, but he's sitting there with them, and that is where the biggest disaster is, that a person who wants to keep on the right, he wants to still stay in the company of those who are doing the wrong things, but he says, no, he wants to do the right things. How is it going to ever happen? So now in any case, now he is there in this group. He wants to keep those friends. But then he says, now to do the right thing here is very difficult. To break away from this group and go for salah, very difficult. What's difficult about waking up from where one is sitting and walking in the direction of the masjid? What's difficult about that? But he put himself in such a place, in such a company, that now he is battling between the tug of war between the ruh and nafs and shaitan. And now because this whole group is now keeping him seated there, that has made it difficult to just merely stand up and walk. What's difficult about standing up and walk? He's not crippled. So there's nothing difficult about standing up and walking for him. But he's put himself in a place that made it difficult for himself. So there's nothing difficult about deen at all. Everything that Allah Ta'ala has given us in deen is perfectly practical. It is the fitrat itself. Fitrat Allahi allati fatara an-nasa alayha. This refers to this natural deen. Deen is is completely in harmony with the nature of insan. But if somebody distorts his nature, so now he's distorted his nature. You get people whose nature got distorted because of all the filth that they watch. So their nature got distorted. They only look at everything in a filthy way. So now that is his distortion, he distorted his nature. But the natural nature of insan is haya. That is his nature. Allah Ta'ala created insan with haya. But if he lost it, so now that doesn't make deen wrong. Deen is simple, deen is very easy. But because of how we put ourselves in what kind of situations, how we distort that nature of ours, so now the natural deen seems difficult for us. Deen is natural, and anything natural is simple. Anything natural is very easy. So things become difficult because of what we make of it. It's, as mentioned, we are born on haya. And as a result of that haya, the segregation of males and females is natural. This is part of something natural, that those who are not blood relatives, they should not be this free intermingling. This is natural, completely part of human nature. And if we trace any community going back in time, then once upon a time, this was part of them. Then they lost it. They lost it, unfortunately, people who are with Iman as well, but due to the weakness of Iman, we also lose it. So now this becomes the culture, that everything is intermingled, there's free mixing, there's no segregation at all between non-mahrams. So now if somebody comes up to say that, look, this is not in order, and I am going to refrain from being part of these mixed gatherings and so on, so now he is looked at as if he's come from some other part of the universe. He's an alien in this place. And what he's talking about is something totally alien to us. And he's making things difficult for us now. Or this person now, when she wants to adopt complete parda, so she is making things difficult for us. Making things difficult for who? No, you are making things difficult for her. You are making things difficult for those who want to remain on what is natural. What always was natural. Or come back to what is natural. So, difficulty is in ourselves. We've made things difficult. Otherwise, deen is easy, deen is perfect, and it's part of what is natural. So, here also is the lesson that we learn from all this, that if we are doing something that is not in order, the very least is acknowledge the mistake to start off with. That is the starting point. And inshallah, if that is acknowledged sincerely, that yes, I'm wrong, what I'm doing is not in order, it's my weakness, inshallah there's hope now that this will move forward. The heart, something will knock at it, tawbah will come inshallah. And inshallah the tawfiq will come to now come out of this, because now the conscience will build up, and that guilt will now grow. That I'm acknowledging I'm doing something wrong, and if a person has a little bit of dignity in him, so now he can't continue doing something wrong when he's conscious of it that he's wrong. And sooner or later he's going to bring that guilt within him. If that iman builds up, then that guilt that I am displeasing Allah Ta'ala, I need to change this. But it starts off with that acknowledgement, that acceptance that what I'm doing is wrong. Not trying to justify the wrong. That is extremely dangerous. And worse than that is, then trying to get others also to continue in the wrong and to remain stuck in what is against deen, that is even worse. That is now taking others towards Jahannam. They will hold us to account for, they'll be responsible for their own sin, but we will then be punished for their sin as well. The person who guides someone towards something good, he gets their reward as well. And if he becomes a means of taking somebody to something wrong, he will take their sin on his head as well. So this is a very important aspect that we have to be cautious about. Further now they said, مَا سَمِعْنَا بِهَذَا فِي الْمِلَّةِ الْآخِرَةِ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا اخْتِلَاقٍ. We never heard about this in the previous times. This is all something that's a fabrication. Now what is original, they started regarding the original as fabrication. And what they fabricated, or what was fabricated by their forefathers, deen, tawheed was original. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came down with tawheed. There was no shirk. And it is only much later in his progeny that some people started committing shirk. So the original was always Tawheed. And every Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala came down with the lesson of Tawheed. So now they say, no, this is all just fabricated. We never heard about this before. أَأُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرُ مِن بَيْنِنَا. That all of us are here, he's the only one that got chosen for this revelation. So now what does it matter if you didn't get chosen and he got chosen? This is Allah Ta'ala's prerogative. He's telling you the truth. But these are all excuses when a person doesn't want to accept the truth. Carries on till to this time and age. When a person doesn't want to accept something, then he'll always have something to say. Whether it makes sense or not. It might be completely devoid of any sense, but he'll have something to say. Some excuse to just make himself sound like, no, I also got some basis to stand on. So now, they didn't want to accept, so what they came out with, أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرُ مِن بَيْنِنَا, that has this wahi only come upon him from among all of us. Allah Ta'ala, na'uzu billah, didn't find anybody else. Wahi, he's talking about something coming from the heavens. Then this should have come onto some very prominent personality. He is grow up as a yatim, and all these poor people are around him. Why would the wahi come on him then? Whereas, is Allah Ta'ala then further says, بَلْ هُمْ فِي شَكٍ مِّن ذِكْرِ بَلْ لَمَّا يَذُوقُوا عَذَابٍ, that they have doubt in this advice. Actually, the reality is they haven't tasted the punishment. When the punishment comes, then they'll realize. When the punishment then afflicts them, then their eyes will open, then their minds will open as well. But unfortunately, that sometimes is too late. Sometimes by that moment, the respite has run out, the time is over, there's no more time now for any recompense, because by that time a person's life is gone. Allah Ta'ala says, أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ الْعَزِيزِ الْوَهَّابِ أَمْ لَهُمْ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَلْيَرْتَقُوا فِي الْأَسْبَابِ. The crux of these two ayat, that they are claiming all these things. Do they own the treasures of Allah Ta'ala? Allah has these treasures. Allah gives who He wants, what He wants. Allah confers nubuwwat to who He wanted. The door of nubuwwat closed with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But nubuwwat was never something that was in a person's choice to try and achieve it. Nubuwwat was purely Allah Ta'ala's bestowal on whom He wished. So now why they have any objection on this? And are they claiming something, they own the kingdom of the heavens and earth? Then prove it. Then climb onto the heavens, put your robes and climb onto it. Allah Ta'ala says, جُنْدُمْ مَا هُنَالِكَ مَهَزُومٌ مِّنَ الْأَحْزَابِ, that these people are talking all these things because they think they have a lot of might. They have a lot of power. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is surrounded by very, very weak people outwardly. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an is around him. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala an and his family are around. Meaning these are the people following Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala an, and people who don't have apparently that might, that power, that strength and those resources and all these things. And these people are the so-called superpower of the time. So therefore they are talking these big, big stories about themselves and thinking that, well, we are invincible. Allah Ta'ala says, جُنْدُمْ مَا هُنَالِكَ مَهَزُومٌ مِّنَ الْأَحْزَابِ, this too is going to be a defeated group very soon. And they'll be defeated by these very same people who they think nothing about, who they dismiss as people of no strength and might. But these outwardly weak people who have now, currently they are at the mercy of these Quraysh who are torturing them, they will be defeated at the hands of these very same outwardly weak people. That day will come. And Allah Ta'ala reminds them that, look, if you think you have too much of might, then look back. كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ وَعَادٌ وَفِرْعَوْنُ ذُو الْأَوْتَادِ وَثَمُودُ وَقَوْمُ لُوطٍ وَأَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَةِ أُولَٰئِكَ الْأَحْزَابُ إِنْ كُلٌّ إِلَّا كَذَّبَ الرُّسُلَ فَحَقَّ عِقَابٌ. Allah Ta'ala says, all these nations that passed before them, they rejected the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and they thought they had a lot of might. Fir'aun thought he had a lot of might. But what happened in the end? So even up to this day and time is the lesson for us. That while it is obviously very, very heartbreaking to witness whatever and know whatever is going on in the world, but A mu'min never becomes despondent also. Yes, he will turn to Allah Ta'ala in dua and in amal, and also do whatever else he can do to assist. But at the same time, a mu'min has his gaze on Allah Ta'ala, he submits to Allah Ta'ala, and there's never despondency. That day will come when the Fir'auns of this time too, their noses will also get rubbed in the dust very badly. Allah Ta'ala is fully in control. Allah's Qudrat is above everything. We have to submit to Allah Ta'ala. What is our requirement, we will do. We have to make tawbah, istighfar, turn to Allah Ta'ala in dua, in beseeching Him, in amal, and whatever else we can do to help the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala, we will help. But we don't become despondent about anything. And we keep turning to Allah Ta'ala, we keep our attention focused in that direction at all times. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.